Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 102, Kuf Bet. Tfila la'ani ki yatuf, v'lifnei Adonai yishpoch sicho. Well-known song, a prayer of the pauper when he is in distress and pours out his heart before the Lord. Amos Chacham notes that often in Psalms, the title bears no connection to the message. It's not really an introduction. But not so with Psalm 102. Where he describes what it is, a tefillah, and what he is, an ani, and what the song is about, pouring out one's heart before God, which is exactly what the psalm is about. Malbim believes this to be the prayer of Israel when they are in exile, who, without the homeland, feel like poor people, fainting and suffering and about to expire. But first they make a last-ditch effort to call out to their God and ask for salvation. Two more verses serve as part of the introduction in which he asks God to listen to his supplication and not hide his face on this difficult day. Adonai shima tefilati v'shavati elecha tavo al taster panach mimene v'yom sali hate elai oz necha b'yom ekra mehar aneni. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry reach you. Do not hide your face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. The plea is personal, calling out directly to God, asking for a response. Verse 2 presents a chiastic structure, ABBA, in which the first and last part of the verse are the subject of God, while the heart in the middle is the prayer or the plea. Sometimes this choice of poetic structure, one which bolsters the middle section because of the repetition, enhances the emotional connection to the body of the psalm, one which will be filled with praying and pleading. Verse 3 uses a different technique of presenting opposites juxtaposed. First, don't hide your face on my stressful day. Then, incline your ear to me on the day I call you. Both seek to hear a response from God's mountain where he resides. Verse 4 begins the body of the first section of the psalm with the word ki, an explanation for his urgency, which is a sordid description of his misery. It lasts for 9 verses. Da ki chalu v'ashan yemai v'atzmotai k'moked nicharu huka ke'esev v'yivash libi ki shachachti me'achol lachmi mikol anchatai davka atzmi livsari dimiti likat midbar hayiti kakos charavot shakarati v'ayya kitzipor bodel agag kol ayom cherfuni oivai meholalai b'i nishba'u ki efer kalechem achalti v'shikuvai b'vchi masachti mipnei z'amcha וקצפך, כי נסעתני ותשלחיני, ימי כצל נטוי, ואני כעשב יבש. My days pass away like smoke, my bones burn like a furnace, my heart is struck and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because my life groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like an owl in the wilderness, like a night flyer in the desert. I watch, I'm like a lonely bird on a rooftop. My enemies insult me all the day, and they who are mad against me are sworn against me. I've eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. You have lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like an evening shadow, and I am withered like grass. The psalmist employs poetic similes in describing his plight. The simile is most visible when the word ki, or ki, which means like, is used in the description. In this section, they appear quite often. My days wither like smoke, my bones like a furnace, my heart like grass. Like an owl, like a night flyer, like a lonely bird, ashes like bread, days like an eating shadow, withered like grass. All these aim to paint the images more visually in the mind of the reader to impel greater sympathy for the cause. In this case, the reader is ostensibly God. The only catch is verse 11, where instead of continuing to attempt to elicit compassion, he lashes out to God. That all this has befallen as a result of God's wrath and is shaking him and throwing him around like a rag doll. He never confesses or even hints towards guilt. This is the defiant, suffering adherent calling out to God with 90% pathos, 10% as accusation. And then the tenor of the psalm shifts as he turns to God, praising him, confidently recording God's past deeds and resolutely stating his future ones. Ve'ata Adonai le'olam teshev v'zichrecha l'dor v'dor. Ata takum terachem tzion. Ki eit l'chanana ki ba moed ki ratzu avadecha et avaneha v'tafara yechonenu. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. Your name endures to all generations. You shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for it is time to favor her. The set time has come. For your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. The first three verses of this section call out directly to God, and they begin with the powerful vav, which often comes to negate that which appeared beforehand. In this context, it is meant to contrast his ephemeral existence, according to Radak, or his withering away, according to Malbin. But perhaps it is contrasting the psalmist's accusation to God for punishing him. But you, God, eternally sit in judgment. Or perhaps it's to contrast God's wrath when he says in verse 14, you will have mercy upon Zion. Regarding verse 15, the Gemara in Ketubot has a powerful story. Rabbi Abba would kiss the rocks of Akko, which was on the coast of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chanina would repair its blocks, any potholes. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi would stand and pass from a sunny spot to a shady one and from a shady to a sunny, so that when they would always sit in comfort and never have cause to remark that they were uncomfortable in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chia Bar Gamda would roll in the dust of the land as it is stated, and this is our verse, for your servants take pleasure in her stones and love her dust. This is the praise the psalmist has for God and for the people of the land who revered it so much. Psalm continues, V'yiru goyim et shem Adonai v'chol malchei eretz et kvodecha kivara nait tzion nireh b'kvodo panal tfilat ha'arar v'lo vaza el et tfilatam tikatev zot v'dor acharon v'am nivra yehaloya ki ishkif v'imamorom kodsho Adonai mishamayim el eretz hibit lishmoen kat asir lefatech b'nei tmuta v'saper b'tzion shem Adonai tfilato v'yushalayim v'kabetz amim yachtav u'malachot v'avodet Adonai. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion, appearing in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for generations to come, so that the people unborn may praise the Lord. For he has looked down the height of the sanctuary from heaven, looked to the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoner, to set free those who are appointed to die, that men may declare the name of the Lord in Zion and praise it in Jerusalem when the people are gathered together. And the kingdom is to serve the Lord. A litany of verses describing what God will do for Zion, for Israel, for human beings in pain, for all those to learn the glory of God and his chosen Jerusalem. But then he returns to his complaints. Ina b'derech kochi, katzar yamai. He weakened my strength in the way he shortened my days. Chacham suggests that it was as if the last 10 verses took place when the psalmist was in a wonderful dream, but now he woke up from that dream only to contend with the harsh reality of his life. Exile, wandering, suffering, a shortened life. Yet these feelings lead him once again to turn back to God in supplication, pleading for long life. Omar Eli Al Taleni V'chatzi Yamai B'dor Dorim Shnotecha L'fanim Ha'aretz Yasata Masei Yadrecha Shamayim Hema Yovedu ואתה תעמוד וכולם כבגד יבלו כבוש תחליפם יחלופו ואתה ושנותיך לא יתאמו בני עבדך ישגונו וזרם לפניך יקון. I say, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of all you laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens of the work of your hands, they shall perish, but you shall endure. All of them shall become old like a garment, like clothing you shall change them, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years shall have no end. The children of your servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before you. The last three verses revert to the theme of the fleeting nature of them, which Chacham assumes to be referring to the heavens, that even the heavens will eventually cease while God's grace is eternal. The final verse returns to the servants of God who will endure as well. Their seed, he hopes, will never falter. Much of the psalm discusses the pain of the person suffering either in exile or at least in a difficult position in his life. He pleads with God to open his heart and to listen to the prayer of this pauper. He sometimes accuses God of being a party to this pain, but mostly praises God and speaks of his internal connection with Zion, with his servants, and with the world.